Tim, first of all, just tell me about yourself and your background before we get into the show.
Sure, I have a weird background. In 1994, I became a police officer in the Los Angeles Police Department. I was a cop for about 8 years, and I was also a stock trader. I was trading stocks all morning at the stock market on the West Coast, and then I would go chase bad guys in South Central Los Angeles in the afternoon. And I went looking for a convention, actually, to meet other traders, and I couldn't find one. So I called a friend of a friend who put me in touch with somebody who had been in the trade show business. And 4 months later, we had our first online trading expo. And it went really well. Had about 11 shows over the next 3 years. I did well enough for the business to quit being a cop full-time and concentrate on that. And been in the trade show business ever since.
Well, when it comes to this particular subject matter, I mean, did you have some special interest in the whole new media thing, or how did that come about?
So I was also a mountain biker. That was kind of my hobby. And I started a podcast I started an online streaming site for mountain bikers. And pretty soon we started interviewing triathletes and marathon runners. And these are folks that don't sit in front of the computer a lot. They take their audio with them on their portable devices. So they were manually taking our shows and putting them onto their MP3 players. Well, I was trying to help them do a better job of making it easier for that to happen. So I was searching online, and I read this blog post about podcasting and implemented it for our site. And, you know, people loved it. And so I started looking into it more and found that people were asking questions about this and the equipment to buy and how to produce a show. And the trade show guy in me said, well, if there's a lot of people, passionate people asking questions and companies starting to make products for podcasters, there's a trade show there. So we started our first one in 2004.
Well, tell me a little bit about any statistics you can share for where you've come to here in the third annual in terms of attendance, exhibitors, and that kind of thing.
So the first year we had about 1,600 attendees, which is great. We were only expecting about 700, so I was really happy with that. The second year we had about 2,000. I think this year we had about 2,100, 2,200. I'm kind of superstitious about that. I don't check until the very end. But part of the reason was, you know, Ontario has been great for it as kind of its birth, but it's time to go to Vegas and take it to the next level and hopefully get more attendees with that, being a destination city, bring the family along for vacation and that sort of thing. So hopefully that'll do it. And exhibitor-wise, we're about 20% higher than we were last year, so it's growing.
In terms of the exhibitors here, for a lot of us who are doing different kinds of production, we've got some equipment here, but not I wouldn't say a large amount. There are some players that will be kind of cool to see at a show like this. Do you see taking it to that next level part of that, a growing awareness of how significant this part of the industry of creating video and audio production is, and we might see more?
I hope so. And it's a job that it's a challenge for us to show the value to these companies that, yes, you're maybe used to dealing with radio stations and big companies that buy 20 Marantz recorders or 20 Eddyroll or, you know, big 100 licenses for video editing software. But for us, the challenge is to let these companies know, and it's starting to happen, that there are millions of people out there buying one and two of things, and together it's a huge untapped market for them. And so they're starting to realize it. Some of the early companies like Eddyroll and Marantz have already realized it, and they know the podcasters are buying it. But there's still a lot of folks there that aren't quite sure that the prosumer is the market for them. But I think as more and more people buy it and get into it and the tools get easier and cheaper, they'll definitely buy into that. So hopefully we'll have even more every year.
Well, the first one, you really, really keyed in on podcasting. And as I see the program here, still pretty heavy. Do you see that branching out more now that you've added the new media into the name so that we might see more in blogging while we're here?
I think so. I mean, new media is kind of encompasses all of that. Mm-hmm. And what we found even after the first year is people aren't creating content because it goes on an iPod. They create content no matter where it's going to be viewed. And so podcasting has kind of morphed into something else. It just means it's kind of a community of people. But in the end, it's just a technology to deliver whatever content you have. So podcast and New Media Expo, I think, is a bit redundant, actually. I mean, we may just go with New Media Expo at some point. But really focusing on audio and video created by independent people, no matter where it goes, if it's a portable device or the internet or TV, whatever it is, it's just we want to be the NAB, basically, for independent people.
Well, I was going to go there because my background is in broadcasting. Been to a number of those big-ass conventions, for lack of a better word. And I just, you know, don't know that this might get to that sort of level, but who knows what the future will hold, too, right?
Yeah, you know, I don't know that we'll ever be a trade show that has 100,000 people. Or, you know, I don't know if there'll be that many serious independent content creators in the next 5 years. Maybe down the road there will be. when you have everybody imaginable creating audio and video and posting it. Mm-hmm. But at this point, you know, we really try to reach out to those people that are early adopters and want to make it a business and make mm-hmm. themselves mini media companies. And so, you know, I think the show will be in the 2,000 to 5,000 range for the next year or two.
I heard a guy before we did the interview talk about he's here from another country, and there's a number of those. Have you thought about expanding this into some international venues?
We have. We've talked about Europe because there's a lot of big groups from the UK here. We've talked about like Hong Kong or China. We have some Asian attendees here too, so it's a possibility. But the business guy in me says we got to make sure that the audience is there and that we can afford to do it before we take that leap.
Well, it looks like you're doing very well. I compliment you on it. I've had a conflict the last 2 years, but finally was able to. Although it's a challenge, our business is just grown tremendously in this whole area. Mm-hmm. So it's been very helpful to, you know, maybe be at an advanced level more than some of the sessions, but I would say even some that were at a more basic level, I still came out of it with some good ideas and notes and just, you know, things we might want to try and incorporate. So, again, congratulate you on what you're doing. That's Tim Borkin, who is the founder of the podcast The New Media Expo. I'm Chuck Zimmerman.